The rainbow. Most of us have seen this phenomenon in person, and it's beautiful, isn't it? It showcases a spectrum that includes red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. These colors essentially cover the visible spectrum for human eyes, providing a natural display of the different wavelengths of light that we can see. In Genesis 6 and verse 5, you don't need to turn there, but we read about how wicked the earth had become and how the intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And then later in chapter 9, we read in verses 12 through 17 about the sign God gave as a promise, a covenant between him and every living creature on earth to never flood the earth again. And this sign is, of course, the rainbow. In 1978, the gay pride movement adopted the rainbow as their symbol. They stole something pure and good and beautiful, and they turned it into a representation of deviancy, the very kind of evil that grieved God so much in the first place that he had no choice but to do a hard reset and destroy nearly all life on earth over 4,000 years ago. It's almost as if Satan targeted the rainbow specifically because of what it truly represents, and corrupted it as a way to mock God in these end times, times that are compared to the days of Noah in Matthew 24:14. So it's truly sad that today, when you see someone wear rainbow-colored attire, or jewelry, or a pin, or maybe their social media account has rainbows in it, what immediately comes to mind is that they're either deviant or supporting deviant behavior. In fact, that's the only thing that comes to mind now. It didn't take long for the rainbow to be universally recognized as a gay pride symbol. And even the word gay has been perverted. It originally meant happy. But if we use it in conversation today, it won't be assumed that we're talking about being happy. It's now associated with being a homosexual. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And we're going to pick it up in verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day, the day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Sober is the Greek word nepho, which Strong's defines as being discreet, figuratively speaking. Discreet means being careful in one's speech or actions, especially in order to avoid drawing attention. And keep that in mind. So let's continue in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. So we have this set of instructions on how we should be conducting ourselves, and included in this list is abstaining from all appearance of evil. The point I want to make today is that optics are important. Sure, we could wrap a rainbow-colored scarf around our neck and go out shopping, but is that a wise decision today? We could say, hey, I'm wearing this rainbow scarf because I like the colors. It's pretty. But public perception is going to be different. I use a scarf as an example because years ago, I was given a colorful scarf as a gift. It wasn't rainbow exactly, but it was close enough. I wore it once, and let's just say it wasn't a good idea. We're not supposed to look like the world or even appear to support the world's ideas. Optics matter. We're told in Romans 12, verse 2, let's turn to Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? What is conformity? It's aligning one's attitude, beliefs, and behaviors with group norms, standards, and expectations. We live in this present evil world that is completely at odds with God's way. It's not enough that we abstain from evil, but abstaining from the very appearance of evil. We shouldn't even appear as if we're part of this system. If it looks wrong, if it sounds wrong, if it brings wrong thoughts into our minds, it's best to be avoided altogether. We have to use discretion, be sober. If we're not careful, it's much too easy to appear like we are of this world, in how we dress, in how we speak, in how we think and conduct ourselves. Societal norms can cloud our judgment or cause us to become careless, figuratively drunk. It's times like this that we have to be ever vigilant to not be associated with many of the evils today. In many circumstances, it could very well be innocent, but the optics are just not good. Back when the church used to send a minister to counsel with a potential member about attending, they would always send two if it was a woman who lived alone. The intentions are good, but the optics are bad for an unmarried man and woman to be alone together. Not to mention there's potential for it to become a compromising position. My dad, Mr. Corkud, gave a message a few weeks ago about how the best defense against sin is not to be there, not to put ourselves in bad situations to begin with. Situations that place us in compromising positions. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Over 10 years ago now, I was invited to the company banquet that was hosted at the end of each year by the gym I worked for. Now, I was told that it was just an awards banquet, not a Christmas party. That was really emphasized to me. So at the behest of the rest of my colleagues, I attended. And guess what? It was a Christmas party. It had the tree. It had the music. And I made the mistake of getting dragged into taking a group picture with my team at the time in front of said Christmas tree. The optics were not good at all. To make matters worse, one of my coworkers posted the picture on our social media and tagged me in it. So embarrassing. It would have been wise for me to avoid the situation altogether, but I wasn't discreet. And needless to say, that was my last attendance at the company banquets. God calls us a peculiar people. Read that in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You don't need to turn there. But we're supposed to be weird to the world. One of my coworkers would jokingly call me a werewolf because I needed to leave work before sunset on Fridays. It was peculiar to her, unusual. The church teaches not to hold hands with someone who we're dating. That's unusual to the world. It's a weird practice. When we first started attending with COGIW in my early 20s, I thought it was unusual that we didn't sing some of the hymns in the Purple Hymnal. I grew up in Worldwide, and I spent most of my teenage years with United, and I was accustomed to singing any and all the hymns. I had no idea that quite a few of the hymns were indeed Protestant hymns. To me, they were just hymns, but to many, those hymns brought back thoughts and associations of the Protestant church. The thoughts, the memories, associations, thoughts are powerful things. So we should avoid it. Not to mention, it just looks bad for the church to be singing the hymns of worldly churches. We're not to be conformed to this world. It should be clear as night and day as to who is God's church and who is not. It shouldn't be fuzzy. I've seen posted on Facebook some special music from various COG groups, and I couldn't put a finger on it, but everything from the song choice, which was modern gospel music, to the presentation, to how they were dressed, it just screams contemporary worship service that you might see in a modern-day non-denominational Protestant church. It just looked wrong, as if they were trying to conform to the world. I suppose it's not surprising, though, when one forgets their spiritual heritage, the obvious direction then becomes a slow, gradual conformity to the environment we live in. There's no anchor to keep from drifting off with the current. Jingle Bells is one of the most popular Christmas songs, if not the most popular, but it surprised me when I discovered its origins aren't tied to Christmas at all. It was written by James Lord Pierpont, an American songwriter, and he composed the song in the mid-19th century, about 1857, and it was first published under the title The One Horse Open Sleigh. The song was intended for Thanksgiving rather than Christmas. Over time, it became associated with Christmas, and now is considered a Christmas song, if not the Christmas song. I looked at the lyrics, and there's no reference to Christmas at all. It's all quite innocent. It's literally just about having fun on a sleigh ride. Quite a few Christmas songs actually don't have any references to Christmas at all, but it's the association. It makes you think of Christmas. If you sing it, you're assumed to celebrate Christmas. It has been tainted. Associations are important. We shouldn't look like we're associated with sin. Final scripture, turn to Revelation 18. Revelation 18 and verse 4. Revelation 18 verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. We're told to come out of her, this Babylonian system we live in. This world is gray. It has good and evil in it. It's the product of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we have to exercise discernment, everything, being cautious of everything, examine things from a spiritual point of view rather than take things at face value. What was once good in the past could now be considered evil or associated with evil. It's just like that old saying, one rotten apple will spoil the whole bunch. Eventually, everything in this world, even if it started good, will eventually be tainted. Nothing is off limits, even God's rainbow. So let's be ever mindful, ever sober in these end times, watching and understanding our surroundings, not conforming to this world, but coming out of her, being that peculiar people, abstaining from all appearance of evil.